What is up, everybody? If you are a fan of Star and The Real Housewives of Atlanta, you don't want to miss today's show.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week. I know you like to lay low. Hey. I've been keeping what you bring to the table. Working hard, girl, everything paid for. First, last phone bill, car, no cable. With your phone out, gotta hit them angles. With your phone out, snapping like you
I don't know the lyrics yet. So once I know the lyrics, I'll be able to do it with the beat. But right now, I just gotta move. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Lives this week. I'm your host, Dario Kristen. Joining me today is Courtney Stewart.
Hello, everybody.
Purple, so you get your purple.
I'm on purple today.
You about to get the Prince, you know, purple anniversary celebration.
I made it. I put the purple on and I'm her.
All right, I see you. I see what you're doing.
Thank you.
Special guest today. You know his face. You know his personality. Miss Lawrence is in the house with
us. What is my camera? This one here?
This one here, right here.
To the right.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You are a busy person right now. Star, you got all kind of stuff going on.
Yeah,
projects you're acting on up in the L.A.s.
Mm-hmm. Yes, trying to do what I can while I can. You know what I'm saying? Well, whoever have me, you know.
Well, we're happy to have you today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I feel like, you know, it's a lot of good style in here today. I was waiting to see what you was going to bring today.
Me too.
I
see the little leather jacket. I see what you got going on.
I try to be a little relaxed, you know, when I'm out and doing, you know, I don't want to do too much.
He got his cute mules on. Y'all can't see them little shoes down there, though.
Oh, I love a slipper. You know, a lot of people don't know about me. I actually really hate putting on clothes. Like, the more comfort, the better.
Okay.
I know I do it well. I know I put my garments on well, honey, but I prefer more comfortable feeling.
I feel
do
that,
you
man.
Just when you are putting the outfit together, do you see it or do you just go to your closet? Do you pre-plan it? You know, some people lay it out the night before. You one of those people just go in your closet and you're like, bam.
That's what bam, I feel like right
that's
now.
That's what I'm wearing right now.
Let me tell you a story. I do both. So I spent the last 2 weeks prepping, trying to figure out what I was gonna wear to the GLAAD Awards, which is tomorrow.
Yep.
And I got home, like, after I got it, because I actually got it custom by this amazing designer in Atlanta named Tae Woo. And I got home, and I put everything together. I was like, I'm scared. I don't know if I want to wear it. I done did all that planning. I ended up grabbing some crap out of my closet I already had.
That's funny.
What I brought.
Well, all right.
I see. Well, you probably got a lot of stuff in
I know.
Your closet,
he said crap out of his closet.
Crap means like a lot of expensive stuff that everybody want to get to.
I have good stuff. Not only expensive. I don't have just expensive stuff. I just have good stuff. I got good staple pieces. Some are on. I do a lot of highs and lows, you know?
Yeah, okay. I feel that. All right, well, we're glad to have you today. We're going to talk about some hot topics because your girls from Atlanta is all up in the news this week.
Uh-oh.
And we want to talk about your starring role and all the fun stuff you got going on. So, Courtney, what you got for us today?
All right, speaking of highs and lows, we are on a high this week, y'all, because the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has come down with a decision in regards to the equal pay for equal work, basically, for women, because we've been dealing with a gender gap for many, 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 many moons. And they basically have determined that employers can't pay women less than men just because they made less at a previous job. A woman's prior salary, whether it's considered on its own or along with other factors, can't be used to justify paying a female employee less than her male counterpart. To do so perpetuates discrimination, was the quote that the court gave. And basically, that was a reinterpretation of a ruling that came out in 1982 called the Equal Pay Act, that basically was saying that you could use her past history of salary to determine what current salary would be. This court is obviously recognizing that your past history of salary included discrimination. Therefore, your number ain't going to be as high necessarily, and therefore you shouldn't get penalized for that if you're doing the same job. So going forward, the only acceptable factors in determining pay should be limited to legitimate job-related factors, such as the prospective employee's experience, educational background, ability, and or job performance at their previous job.
Listen, I feel like if you can do the job, no matter what sex you are, you should get equal pay.
Absolutely.
If you're doing the same thing, you're doing the same thing.
Well, this is an interesting thing, though, coming up, because that's sort of the court, and it was based on a case with a woman who sued the Fresno County education system over her salary. And the question kind of came up is, how's that going to trickle down in other industries, for example, the entertainment industry?
Yeah.
Whereas box office has sort of been the determining factor for what you actually deserve in terms of a salary. And are they suddenly going to try to change that up? Is that really fair? Because in the end, we still live in capitalism, y'all.
I mean, we just had the situation with Eve.
Pay scale, like, with as it relates to box office. Like, you know, negotiate what your set salary is definitely going to be, and it should be of, you know, it should be equal on all ends. But then, like, man, when you think about Black Panther, I know we planned to talk about that earlier, a movie that's done hit over $1 billion, it's like, yeah, let's start this pay scale. So, yeah, once it hit this, everybody is going to get this now. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think that would be dope if they don't already have something like that, but I don't think they do.
They do for some people because you can negotiate points on the back end. Yeah.
I mean, but you probably got to be like A-list.
Exactly. You have to be up there.
Well, I know that, for example, the star of Wonder Woman, how do you pronounce her name?
Gal Gadot?
She initially got like $150,000 to do Wonder Woman, and then she renegotiated once you obviously saw how much money that movie made. She was able to renegotiate her entire package. So,
for the next one, you're talking about the same movie.
Yeah,
that same movie. Babe, when them numbers come in after that first week, them first 2 weeks after that first month. Yeah, let's go ahead on and move in this bracket right here.
You know what? That should be, when you think about it, that would actually make sense. Because in the end, if the movie's not going to make any money, then the producers aren't losing anything by having those points on the back end.
Correct.
So it would sort of make up for the idea that we don't know if she can open big, but we'll always give like one or two points on the back end.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
So,
But I'm happy. I'm happy that you know, we are moving in the right step. Or definitely, you know, this has happened with the pay equality. I think it was necessary. You know, when they really should go back, and where's my back pay at?
I know, right?
Right, that's the thing. Let's go back. You know, they ain't going to do that. It'd be a lot of people in that line if that's the case.
Yeah. But I'll be interested to see how it kind of continues to pan out. Because, again, I'm always kind of trying to give devil's advocate a little bit, because I do believe, obviously, equal pay, and women have been slighted, women of color especially, have been slighted hugely in terms of salary. But as a business owner, is there not something to be said for being able to negotiate on a certain level? Like, if there's a person that's willing to do the job for $35,000 a year versus somebody else that's willing to do the job for $50,000 a year, why wouldn't you be allowed to pay that $30,000 just because one other person in the industry, in the company, is already making the $50,000? So that's sort of not,
There's a loophole there.
There's a loophole in that, so it's not really supportive. And I think there's a part of responsibility that I think women will continue to build in our strength and all of that, that we're kind of stepping forward on our own, whereas you feel like you can negotiate higher than maybe what you're asking for. Because
I think that also means that women, when you go into these interviews, know your numbers.
Yeah.
Know what they're willing to pay, and that's what you put on the table, I would think. You know, because I think the only thing that would determine somebody accepting $35,000 or $50,000 is this $35,000 person doesn't know that they will pay you $50,000.
Yeah.
But there's also always a person who's willing to take a lower salary, though.
Exactly.
And I think that's always going to be the case. We're just going to throw things off.
That could do the same job. So I don't know, but that's the weirdness.
But I do think it will trickle down to entertainment a little bit quicker, especially with the Me Too stuff and that whole controversy that just happened at E! With Kat and Jason Kennedy and finding out the difference of their pay and everybody.
And Tracee Ellis Ross.
Tracee Ellis Ross and Anthony Anderson. Yeah, I think it's going to happen quicker than we think.
Well, I wonder, though, does that, because even going back to what you were saying about sort of the standard and the scale or whatever, because technically that's what the union is there for, to give the, like, everybody got to at least be making this. But the reality is that the union only really applies to people that are just like kind of working actors that kind of get a job every, like, the union doesn't apply to stars and people that are,
they set their own rules.
Right. Exactly. So it'll be, I don't know.
But you got those ones, you know, like myself that's new at this, I'm a rookie at it, you know, that I need to know every rule, honey. I want to know every rule because I want every coin. I can't leave a dollar on the table.
I ain't mad at you about that coin. As long as I'm like, let me look at this contract. I'm going to look at this one right here and this one.
I'm going to ask myself, boy, what you getting paid?
Right. I know that's right.
So
I ain't mad at you.
Adjust that thought process. Closed mouths don't get fed.
There
you got to speak up for yourself.
Yeah. And know even your worth.
All they can say is no. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'd be like, I need to be paid $100,000 to sit at this table every Thursday.
There you go.
You know, that's what you got to say. They could say no.
But then you got the fear of negotiating yourself out of the job.
But see, that's the fear that has also kept women
that's
in the position
loophole.
That they are. You know what I'm saying?
That's another loophole. It's you know, they can say all day, you know, you can no longer, you know, offer a salary based on someone's previous experience or previous jobs or whatever. But then, you know, I still ain't gonna hire you though.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
They're like, oh, you asking too much.
Right.
But that's the reality of, you know, at will employment.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it all is right, what it is.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, speaking of at will employment and losing jobs and getting jobs and all that, the Real Housewives of Atlanta, y'all, they was in the news this week and people still talking about what went down because the reunion episode 1 aired on Sunday. And we got some interesting news. First off the top was Miss Kenya Moore announced that she would be, okay, on the actual show, what she had said was that she would be welcoming a child at the end of the year.
Right, right.
And everybody was like, oh, congratulations, girl. But what that mean, though? Like, you pregnant right now?
Oh,
and she kind of just was like,
child.
I don't want to talk about it, right. You know, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And so we didn't know if that meant you still in first trimester, like you don't want to announce for real yet, because that's a scary period. We didn't know.
Yeah.
But then somebody was on Twitter, because, you know, the Twitter world went, you know, crazy, like, Kenya's pregnant, yay. And so people were asking, like, so what that mean, girl? You got a surrogate? Like, what's going on? Kenya Moore took to her Twitter and told us very directly. She said, quote, no surrogate, but maybe my next one. So we thinking that means she got a bun in her own oven and she doing her thing with her new man, Mr. Mark Daly.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Lawrence?
Well, what?
Can he hear the, here's
what I know. What I do know is that pregnancy is a very sensitive thing for women, mm-hmm. you know, physically and emotionally. And I think, you know, I've always heard heard that, you know, you shouldn't say anything until after.
Not the first trimester, you're not supposed to even say anything about it.
But, you know, in Kenya's case, that's a really tough position to be in because when your job, you know, revolves around everything in your personal life, it's like, how do you balance that?
Yeah.
You know, my prayer is that, you know, she is pregnant because that's what she's been wanting,
mm-hmm.
To have her own seed and to be fruitful. And, you know, hopefully everybody will wait until it's time for her to really, really give a full reveal, you know.
Yeah.
It's out of respect, you know.
Yes, we appreciate that. And we also appreciate that this news might be the reason why we will get to see her next season, because there were some rumors floating
around.
Well,
I heard about that.
There were some rumors, because the husband wasn't wanting to film,
nothing was going on,
so we didn't
know. And then that's another, like, that's such a tough position, because it's like, you know, you've been on the show all these years and you've got nothing but scrutinized about, you know, whether a relationship was real or whatever, it was fake. And, you know, someone referring to her eggs as rotten eggs.
Yes,
and she gets, and, you know, she finally finds, you know, love and gets married. And then all of, you know, she's like, you know what? I'm not saying nothing. I need to make sure this is all the way right. You know,
mm-hmm.
I get it. But it's, again, that's a tough situation because your job is what you signed up for is, you know, to lay it all out on the table. So that's, you know, it's tough. You have to, I guess, take the lesser of two evils, is it, maybe?
Sort of,
I guess. I mean, okay, so we, you know, obviously see the Kenya on TV, but how do you feel her motherly skills will be? You know, you think that she's gonna...
I'm actually friends with Kenya, you know, in real life, and we've been friends for years. Kenya is a nurturer. She's a very smart woman, and she's very generous in her teachings. And so I think that she will make for a great mother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see
all want to see All of Us fans. Since the beginning.
Yeah.
We are so glad, girl.
Yeah.
We are yes, the man is real. Yeah. The baby, please let it be. Because she deserved, like, especially the story with her mom and all of that. Like, I want to see her win mm-hmm. with a baby and have a great relationship with a kid just because she, unfortunately, was not able to have that herself. So, congratulations, girl. We're excited for you.
Yes.
Somebody who is not quite excited, according to Love B. Scott and Miss Sheree Whitfield, because it's looking like she done lost her peach, y'all.
We'll sip this.
Now, she was on the show for the first 4 seasons, and then she went bye-bye for a little while, and she came back as a friend, and then she came back as a full-time peach holder for the last 2 seasons. But it appears that she did not get that pick up letter in the mail that the other ladies got. And some people are wondering, like, what? Why she got prison bae? Like, why is she getting kicked off the show? So y'all gonna miss Sheree?
I mean,
I hate to see anybody lose their job. You know what I mean? I really do. And it's, you know, I don't know the reasoning behind it. Because I watched some of this season. I thought Sheree was pretty entertaining to me.
Yeah.
She stayed as a mess, honey, or as they put it. She stayed carrying bone. Yeah, she was a bone collector and stuff. So I'm just like, wow, I wonder what happened, you know?
Well, according to the media rumor is that the decision revolved around her boyfriend. And
But
apparently they couldn't film a lot of his stuff. Or I don't know if he doesn't want it filmed or what all the legality with it. But with him being in jail, they somehow, the rumors that Maybe Bravo didn't really want to associate as much with out. That.
Because he was supposed to get, he was hopefully going to get early release, but apparently that didn't work out.
And since that didn't work out, they're like, well, we're not going to keep filming this guy in jail. Maybe they thought it was sending a message
they said it could affect her storyline, because if he's in jail and not filming most of her storyline rumored to be for next season would have been revolving around him. So if you can't really film him or they're choosing not to film him, What's your story, girl?
I don't know.
As long as the house is paid for before this is all worn
down,
I don't know.
But the house is, it appears beautiful. I'd love to see it. I don't know. It looks huge and not cheap. So I don't, good luck, girl.
And there's no more She by Sheree?
She said she got joggers. You saying
that? I ain't gonna lie, that shit was fun. Can I come over here?
Oh, yeah, please do.
Now, that shit was funny. Sheree, one of my friends, too, but now that was some funny shit. Andy Cohen said, Sheree, what? So where is She by Sheree? Like, what happened to She by Sheree?
Joggers.
Joggers. And this is that. What? Joggers. Lifestyle.
What does that mean?
You know, yeah, what does that mean?
Athletic lifestyle. So, yeah. And Candy's like, well, you didn't really make it clear. She says, you weren't clear. No, I was clear. I answered a question. He said, well, when will it be ready? September. Spring, summer, September.
Spring, summer, September. All right.
We were so confused.
Oh, I rewind that thing about 10 times. Now, what she was wanting to say was, I'm doing an athleisure line for She by Sheree, and hopefully I will be able to debut it in the spring shows, in the September shows for spring and summer for that following fashion.
So she just momentarily lost her
Command of English
language.
Yeah, I just think it was an articulation issue. You know what I mean? Yeah.
The question maybe was asked to her too quick.
Yeah.
Threw her off.
Yeah,
you know, the brain fart for
there
a
you
second.
Go.
All right. Because you are here and you was with Atlanta way back when,
you were
Sheree used to seem like, I mean, them first four seasons, Sheree was... She was with it, and she knew. Now she act like she can barely speak, mumbling stuff, running around in sweats all the time. Like, what's wrong? What happened?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe like life just happens.
Life?
I don't know.
Sometimes it does.
When we found out all that stuff about Bob, it was a lot. But dang, girl, I wanted her to stand up and come and bring it and wear them joggers. I want a jogger.
Yeah. I think it's important when people decide to do reality TV or actually any form of entertainment where you you're easily susceptible to judgment.
Sure.
It's important that you pay it no mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think Sheree is one who is always trying to be cognizant of what somebody might say out of every word. And you can't like block that out and say what it is you have to say.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Especially on reality TV. Like, I think that's just impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, were you always like that at the beginning when you first started the show? Were you able to just separate the two? Or did it take you a little bit of maybe reading something that you were like, you know what, let me just not even worry about
anything? No, I never cared. I grew up that way. I grew up in the South, flamboyantly black and gay, and I just never, and how I got on Housewives starting out, it was just, you know, I was offered to come on by Sheree because I was her hairstylist, and she's like, I need you on the show with me because they try to build my story. And I was like, okay. I just do what I've been doing, and I wasn't a housewife, so, you know, they weren't following me around or nothing like that. And honestly, I've never given a damn about what nobody ever thought about me, you know.
That's good.
I knew that all of my intentions are always pure because I was raised that way. And so, you know, I don't care what someone thinks, ever.
Hey.
Hey, everybody needs to listen
to that.
That's the only way to live. That's a little less stress in life.
You know, I don't care what you think, so what?
All right. But last but not least, at the reunion, who got best dressed?
You know what? I thought Portia looked really beautiful. Right. I love that purple.
And the gold crown.
That royal purple. Yeah. I didn't need the crown. I didn't need that crown. Okay. I thought Portia's gown was the most pretty. I thought Candy's glam was the most gorgeous. I thought she looked absolutely beautiful.
She did.
And I think that's all I can give anything to.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that.
I liked Marlo's dress and her look. It could have almost been a little bit overwhelming, but it was beautiful.
Whose hair do you think was most snatched?
I think it's a tie between Portia and Candy.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Portia for the win.
Yeah.
Okay. I know Candy did. I guess they're
right
even.
Here. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna get some more of those questions too, because we want to talk about you and being on Star. But we're gonna finish up a couple of these topics. One including the ER Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
ER Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
Ms. Lawrence mentioned this earlier. We were talking about Black Panther a little bit. Well, Black Panther has killed the game, as we knew and predicted. It is now number 3 of top U.S. box office movies of all time. It actually pushed out Titanic.
Wow.
It is currently globally at $1.29 billion and still making some coins. Still making coins.
Lord. Yeah, let me get my attorney on the phone.
Can somebody take me to Wakanda?
I was an extra in that movie. I was just an extra, and I want my money.
I know that's right. I'm going to sip to that.
Wow.
So the number one movie, I'm going to have you guess, because I don't want you to see. Don't cheat.
Okay.
And don't look at my income tax form. I wrote my notes on the back of an income tax form, y'all.
Because
so
we
here.
Because
we ethnic up in here. Okay, so what's the number one movie of all time, you think? Of U.S. box office history, if Black Panther is number 3,
was it Avatar or Star Wars?
Look at you! Okay, so
I know those got to be
Star Wars
two.
Is number 1. The Force it's Awakens, and number 2 is Avatar.
Oh, there you go. So they're on track to beat them.
Yeah,
they on track.
Wow. On track. So and now people are all excited about this. You know, obviously we know it's changing the game for African Americans in film and TV and all that kind of stuff. But some critics have fear because now they're saying because of the success of Black Panther that they're afraid that now people or studios are not going to put as much focus on movies that aren't just the phenoms, the guarantees. So it may be
that aren't all black cast,
either all black cast or also basically. Just are not. It may be a good movie and not just like profiled to be making $1.29 billion.
Why? You know that's just a bunch of BS. You know, you're afraid of doing this and doing that because this movie is on track to surpassing Star Wars or you know whatever.
See,
the movie.
I'm glad you said that.
BS.
That's
fair.
That's what it is.
Thank you.
That's what I think. I'm glad you said it.
Y'all picked that up because number one,
that
entire article was such bullshit because that theory has already existed since the whole Marvel franchising thing blew up in the early 2000s. Studios do not do a lot of investing in smaller movies that make. Yeah. They've been not doing that. Right. It has nothing to do with Black Panther. Yep. So don't try to put that on Black Panther.
Don't do that. You can't put it on Black Panther. The only thing this movie has shown and proved is that, honey, I'm taking back everything the devil stole from me.
Yeah.
I know that's right.
There you go, babe. That movie just, the only thing that movie did was just show everything that we have been doing and can do.
And
just
can do.
As a people, you know, with an all black dynamic cast of beautiful. Brown and red and bronze hues, you know. Yeah, it's about that time.
Well, I also think it just messed up. It's, you know, were they saying this when Star Wars or
no,
when Titanic broke the record? I started looking back at old articles. I was like, maybe there's something. Maybe I'm not gonna make it racial when I first read it. And then I was like, nope. Because it's
Studios
Black Panther.
Have been doing that forever. There was a whole article. I think it was either George Lucas or Steven Spielberg. I'm pretty sure it was George Lucas who was talking about the fact that Hollywood is setting itself up to be destroyed because they put all of their investment in these huge like Marvel type films, those big summer blockbusters, and that's where most of the investment goes because they don't build up smaller films and independent features, and it's hard for independent features to get financed. So that's a crock of bullshit.
Yes and no. Because, I mean, they do spend more money, whether it's a Black Panther or any Marvel film, they do put more money in those. And then you have some independent movies that, to me, are so worthy of all of the things, yeah, honey, mm-hmm, that they don't put money behind. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm tell you what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting to see this Black Panther 2, honey. And I want to get me a piece.
I'm trying to get. I want to be in Wakanda.
I want to be a Wakandan. Listen,
we need to get our show to dance.
Let me be a Wakandan. You know.
Yes. Please. I'll bark too.
I'll crawl. Girl. I'll bark. And give me some back end money once I do all that too.
Why don't y'all get me out of the doctor here? A queen's cry. Right. A queen's roar. Yes.
That is what we are looking for. Okay?
I'm feeling that. I ain't mad at you, Miss Lawrence.
No, let me get my plug in, honey.
For real.
I'm going to make sure that contract roar up right, baby. Yes.
Them coins right.
All the, you know?
I ain't mad at you. All right. Our last story of the day is, I thought this was very interesting. We obviously are in the middle of a very big gun problem, gun control. Yep. We talk about this, I feel like, every day and every week. Well, there is an anti-gun group called Lead to Life. They have put a different spin on gun control because what they've done this last couple weeks, they actually met with a couple leaders and also one of the daughters of Martin Luther King at his celebration a couple weeks ago in Atlanta. And basically what they're doing is they're taking gun metal and melting it and making it shovels to plant trees around different cities. So this is what the spokesperson for it said. The concept of turning guns into shovels refers back to the Old Testament scripture that spoke of people who beat their swords into plowshares, thereby turning weapons into instruments that benefited human life. Mm. What do y'all think about that?
Turn into guns,
well,
man.
Now, my question is, I mean, listen, I love the sentiment behind the movement. But now, how does that aid in gun control?
I guess because people are turning in a refurbished guns.
Yeah, but I think they're also doing it similar to back in the day. I think in L.A. where they had the gangs come and try to turn over some guns.
So basically it is to win over people who have all of these guns, semi-automatic, automatic weapons and all that type of stuff. Maybe like, you know, trying to convert them over, maybe.
I would use an example of someone in Texas who has a gun rack in the back of their truck, and they maybe have a couple handguns that they could pull out any time, and this would be the opportunity to get rid of some of those guns. Maybe it's gang.
But now, what do they want to? Because see, my understanding is the reason the gun control is so out of control is because the people that have them, they want them.
They want them. That's all.
I
think it's.
I love, I mean, it. Listen, I think it's.
My grandmother's got a gun in her closet. She ain't giving that gun up.
You
to
see
melt.
What I'm saying?
She ain't giving it up to melt.
See, that's what I mean. I'm for a shovel.
No. Not for a shovel. No.
It's just
she gonna put a bullet in your ass and you come up
it's
in her house.
It's just symbolic. It's just, okay, so it's sort
then,
of like.
So then there. Okay, so I would also love it if there was a whole. Like annual memorial thing where all of these people come together and plant certain trees or something. You know, maybe because I'm just trying to figure out, like, yeah.
I don't know the more details about that, but I think that actually is a brilliant idea. Like, if they were to bring every annually, they would bring victims of gun violence to the memorial to see where the trees are planted, whatever, like, to take it to that level. So I don't know if they might already be
getting there. And that may be part of it, because I know that the event that took place at the King Center for nonviolent social change, it was the anniversary of when Martin Luther King got shot. They said a lot of the families of victims of gun violence and police shootings were there. So
did they
plant
a tree there, like in that space? Is that what they did, or they just like opened it up there?
They opened it up there, and then they're gonna.
Because I'm thinking, let's go to Chicago.
Yeah,
let's
it should
go
be
to
in every
south
city.
Chicago,
for sure.
I think that's from what I'm reading. That's where it's.
Okay, it seems like
love
that's where
that.
They're going.
Yeah, they're starting there. That's kind of the introduction, and then it's like leading into
love
other
that.
Places.
What's the name of the organization again?
It's called Lead to Life. So Google
Lead
it.
Gotta,
you know, support them.
Got to start somewhere.
Got to start somewhere.
No, seriously.
Got to start somewhere. So I'm all about that. And because I was reading, I was like, 1.5 million people have had gun deaths in the U.S. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that
I mean,
crazy.
1.5 million. That's ridiculous. That's we got to stop that. All right. Now it's all about Miss Lawrence.
Yes, it is.
We've been trying to get you in the studio for a while. So we, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
You're always in Atlanta and the touring.
Well, now that part is true. I don't really get out on this West Coast that much.
Mm-hmm. But now you know you're starring, obviously, on Star.
Yes.
And now how did that come to be? I mean, when did you start to want to be an actor, actress, you know?
You know, I've always had a strong interest in performing arts. I've went to a performing arts high school in Atlanta called Tri-Cities High School. And I took musical theater there, and I did some musical theater once I got done. But, you know, I left it alone and got into the beauty industry where I stayed for 20 years. And it's funny how things just come full circle. I left the arts because, you know, I didn't feel like I had a place. Mm-hmm. I felt like I didn't have a place. Just out of, you know, out of being rejected so many different times and different ways because of who I was as a nonconformist, as a black gay nonconformist. And I left it alone. I left it all alone, and I got into the beauty industry because I was also very infatuated with that culture. The beauty industry is a culture of its own. And it was actually there where I found Miss Lawrence. A lot of people think that Miss Lawrence is like this, you know, thing that just came from TV. And I know it was out of honor to women. It was, you know, the fact that I just loved servicing women. And it was a black woman who first ever accepted me. And that was my mother for who I was. And so, you know, I never had a desire to be trans or anything like that. But people just would call me like Miss Lawrence because, you know, I was always very in tune with my femininity and my feminine side. So it was like Miss Lawrence. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I've been being called Miss Lawrence for years. And from that, going back to Sheree was one of my clients in Atlanta. I had a very, you know, I had a large clientele. And Sheree brought me on Housewives with her. From that, Andy Cohen. I like to call him Overall Father Bravo, but anyway,
we love Andy.
You know, Andy Cohen, he was so just enthralled with me, and he just loved my personality. So, you know, fast forwarding, he offered me Fashion Queens along with Bevy Smith and Derek J, our other co-host. And from that show, that garnered the attention of Lee Daniels. He was a fan of our show, and he's also very close friends with Bevy. And he reached out to Bevy one day and asked her, told her that someone told him that I could sing because he was thinking about a project that he was going to do that he put on hold now. And she was like, oh my God, yes, like a bird. And he had me to record something and send it to him, and I did. I sang Sylvester Mighty Real in my hotel
room. Okay, could you give us just a little sample?
I'm so hoarse right now. I don't
we got plenty of water for you, Miss Lawrence. Just
no,
for like 30,
you understand.
20 seconds.
I went out last night.
Uh-oh.
And I went to a ball, and I was chanting and screaming. I don't know if I can't do Mighty Real because that's too much high in my register. I can do everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone will change. Nothing stays the same. Oh no. That's all I can do.
Listen. We went to church up in here real quick.
Listen,
I thought it was Sunday. So, wait, what's today? Right. Beautiful.
Thank you. And so from that, I sent it to him, and like, let's say a month or so later, I ran into him I was speaking at the NAN convention. I was speaking on a panel about dismantling homophobia in the black community. And he was being honored at the gala that night. So I went and he was like, listen, I've been thinking, I'm trying to figure out I think I want to put you on Empire. He's like, I think I want to put you on Empire. I'm trying to work that out, so I'll be in contact with you. That same weekend, like before I left, he called me and he said, listen, so you're going to be on Empire first episode, season 2. He said, I'm trying to get Fox to let you sing. I haven't gotten approved just yet, but, you know, Leah, my sister, who's over casting, will be in contact. So Leah called me and got everything set up. Still didn't know exactly what I was going to be doing on there. But I got there. I went well prepared, honey. You know, I had done drunk all my teas.
Got the hot water.
All my teas and the hot water and all that stuff. I got my garments ready, and I get there. When I walk on set, well, they had sent me the script, and I walked on set, and I see Lee laying up on top of this piano, and he's like, is Miss Lawrence here? Hi, baby. Listen, this is what I want you laying on this piano, and I want you to slide off of it while you're singing Mighty Real by Sylvester. Do you know Lola Falana? I want you to use that reference. Somebody pull up Lola Falana, that video that I'm talking about. Pulled it up, and I'm like, okay, got it. Did it, had to do it like 10 times, because you know when you're shooting those shows, you have to go all these different angles. And see, because I was a walk-on guest, and you know, they wasn't putting me in no studio to record, so I had to sing a cappella back to back every time, honey.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah, every time. And so he was just so impressed and just loved it. And Jesse, my brother Jesse Smollett, and Gabrielle Sidibe were just so warm and welcoming, inviting, and it really made me feel like this is where I belong.
Yeah.
And from that, I came on to do another episode of Empire, and then he told me that he had been in the works with a new production deal with Fox to do the show called Star, yep. And that he said, I think I have a role for you, and it's a permanent role, so I have to make you audition, because Fox is going to make me make you audition. And he explained the character to me and what he was looking for, and we collectively came up with the imagery of it, because once he told me who Miss Bruce was, you know, he was very specific when he said, I don't want glamour. I don't want polish. I don't want to see Miss Lawrence. I said, okay. And I said, well, I know who that person is. You know, me growing up in the South, you know, being a little bit in the streets, not fully in the streets, but a little bit in the streets, I knew who that gay man was.
Yeah.
That was, you know, slightly unkempt, but very witty, you know, nothing but street sense. You know, I knew who that person was. I knew what it looked like. And so I went home and put all these different looks together and you know, I went to the audition, and it was history.
History is made.
Yeah.
But having been, like you said, you went away from acting and all of that for almost 20 years.
Yes.
To come back to it, was there any moment of apprehension for you? How did you deal with that and then having to go audition?
Very surreal. It is still very surreal. I retired from the beauty industry literally about 6 months ago. And I had some real moments, you know, I mean, moments of happiness to tears, because, you know, I'm like, out of 20 years of my life was dedicated to something that has in turn got me to this place.
Yep.
So, you know, anytime I go out and speak, my message is always, when you stay the course and you remain honest with yourself, you know, it does. The universe does not return your work back void. Like, it doesn't happen that way.
Say that again.
And you know, so my gifts made room for me, you know? And it was all timing. It was all God's timing, you know? Yeah. You know, maybe it wasn't for me to go on back then when I had first started in musical theater. You know, I don't want you to do that just yet. I want you to wait, you know? And now, you know, while we still have a lot of work that has to be done in the space of having visible images of black gay characters like myself, you know, we've come a long way, you know, and I'm just still in awe every day that I'm able to be a part of that.
If you could write a storyline for yourself in the next year, what would it be?
Oh man, it's so many things I want to get out. You know, I want there to be a storyline about mastering the relationship between the black straight man and the black gay man. Hmm. And what exactly does masculinity look like?
Right.
And who's actually entitled to it? Because I think, you know, because of, you know, false teachings, we got it so twisted and so backwards. You know what I mean? And I think that's me and my brother Jesse had actually talked about doing a documentary on that. And you know, what masculinity looks like on every type of person, especially a straight man and a gay man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's definitely one storyline. I want to tell the fun stuff too. You know, I want to talk about my old days, honey, when I used to pump the streets down in Atlanta, honey, down there on Broad Street with a Juicy Couture jogger suit on, honey. And I throw some Tims on, but my Juicy Couture jogger suit was like fitted, honey, because I always had like a soft feminine shape, honey. And I would just pump the streets. I would wear hair back then. I want to tell all those stories too. And not because, you know, it's a story for so many you know, individuals like me. You know, I'm like, it'll just be so entertaining. It'll just be so real, you know?
What's something you learned from working with Lee? Because I heard he has a very intense regiment with the way he has things running on those ships.
Yeah.
And what did you learn from him in that process?
Show up stripped of everything.
Really?
Show up stripped of everything. Don't come to this place with any of yourself besides your talent. You know, if he says, I don't want any makeup. I don't want any, take the nails, I'll take it. Do it. Because I've learned by watching back, when you look, you're like, oh, wow. This is how you get this to be so real. And his one of his greatest pieces of work to me was Precious. And when I look at that movie and I see how he stripped Monique, how he stripped Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
And how, I mean, honey, and it was
unrecognizable.
So real.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so, I said, oh, that's it. That's
the sauce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we loving what you're doing, and
thank you.
You know, we got to have you back, and
I can't wait,
especially when that album comes out. Because I know an album.
Oh, yeah, when the album comes. On some stuff. I'm working on some stuff. We're just trying to figure out. I want to make sure that when I do it, I have my exact sound. I can sing. I can do that part. I can sing all day. But you know, I think what gives you longevity is making sure that you have your sound, making
Absolutely.
Sure that your sure. sound is people can identify with your sound, making sure they know that it's you, opposed to, you know, just putting out stuff just because, right. you know, you can. No, I want to make sure I have my exact sound, my right sound, yeah, to make sure it makes sense.
Well, we've been waiting on it since Closet Freak.
Thank you.
Wait, one last question. If you could give any celebrity right now a fashion makeover, who would it be?
Who would I give a makeover to? I can't answer that because I got to be honest with you. Even I used to say this when I did Fashion Queens. I really don't give a damn what nobody wears. I don't care.
You like it's all
I don't care what you have on.
As long as you just have the attitude.
But you
to wear.
I mean just look right in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's all I got to just look right in it.
Well, who's inspiring to you right now and yeah. just killing it that you're like that they know who they are.
They know what they're doing.
They got something special.
You know who I've always loved and they deliver on point so well every time is that Angela Bassett.
Oh, Angela's fire.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm
always
a person that's all about head to toe openness, honey. And Angela, she gives you
she
that. You
yes,
know, I love Rihanna. Rihanna is such a huge risk taker. She's not afraid to go there and push the envelope, you know. It's quite a, you know, I like seeing Michael B. Jordan on red carpet.
Michael's
don't we
it
all,
too.
Honey?
Love seeing Michael B. Jordan.
He's killing
on
it.
Red
He's
carpet,
killing
you
it.
Know. Yeah, you know, who makes me smile when I see them is Nick Cannon because he's always bending, you know, he's always.
He has some interesting looks.
He does.
Yes,
he's very fashion fluid, and I like it.
Even with some of them, I'm like, only Nick can wear that.
Yeah,
Nick can wear that. But
yeah,
no, but
yeah.
he kills it. He kills
it with confidence.
Yeah. Where can fans find you?
Oh, my Instagram is Miss Lawrence ATL. My Twitter is Lawrence ATL. My Facebook is regular Lawrence Washington. Oh, I do have a fan page on Facebook, Miss Lawrence, on there. Yeah, I got to get better with this.
Do you comment back to fans?
Not negative stuff. Sometimes I do.
Okay.
Sometimes I respond. You know, I might do like a heart or something like that. You know, it's hard to respond to everybody.
Right.
It's a lot.
I'm sure your phone just is all kind of messages.
Alerts all the time.
Alerts.
Asking for advice.
It goes down in the DMs. Courtney, where can fans find you?
You can find me all over social medias at Stuart Starlet.
And you can find me at Dario Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I don't know if we're going to get any exit music. We need to go out to Drake.
I know.
Can we go out to Drake?
Apparently not.
Okay, we're going out to this? Okay.
It's cool. Let's just do this. It's fine.
Thank you so much for joining.
Thank y'all for having me.
Thank you. We're going to have
this
you back.
Amazing. Oh, please do.
Check him out on Stars.
Tonight. Yes.
Miss Lawrence.
What time
does
it come on the West Coast? Because I don't know.
9:00.
9:00.
Because it comes on after Empire.
Uh-oh. There you go. There you go, Anthony.
Yes. Louisiana shit. Yes. Murder I love this damn song. Oh, you can't hear it.
Something for y'all to cut up to, you. Yeah. Everybody get your motherfucking roll on. I don't show you she
Kevin
want
Undergaro,
no
Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire VHL staff. We would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at King XO Bay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.
follow.